daughter of Zion, shout. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly. Praise God. That was spoken to Israel. But because of the grace of Almighty God, that's spoken to us this morning. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice greatly. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Praise our God. He comes every time you and I open up the door of our heart. You ever wondered how you open the door of your heart? Let me show you. Worship. The minute that hand goes up, those hands go up, you're totally vulnerable right at the heart. There's no need for the shield of faith when God is on the scene. There's no need for the sword and spear, but just an opening up of the heart unto the Lord, that the King of glory can come in. Hallelujah. You realize he keeps coming in? He comes to abide, and there's a new creature created inside of us. But then he comes to fellowship time and time again by the power of the Holy Ghost of God as we open up. You see, this is why Satan tries so hard to stifle pure worship. Tries to get us so intimidated in our minds of what people will think of our worship. Because he knows if he can stop it, he can stop what God's wanting to do in the heart. Because that's how he enters in. He enters in through worship and adoration and thanksgiving and praise. As we begin to lift our voices unto our God. Hallelujah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. I'm preaching to us this morning on rejoice. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's one thing about rejoicing, it can't be hid. It can be stifled, but it can't be hid. Hallelujah. What is the definition of rejoice? Well, Webster's dictionary says to experience joy and gladness in a high degree. Wow. To be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult, to rejoice. To rejoice is you're at that place, really, where you have no words, but all you have is joy. All you have is gladness. And you are looking for avenues whereby to exalt and magnify and share. Hallelujah. What your heart's feeling. That's why playing it. Brother Jason talked about it in Sunday school. I come in on the latter part and he talked about it. The playing of that horn and that organ and that piano and that bass guitar and those drums. That's not just so you can see them play. That's not so you can applaud them, even though they may do a great job. That is worshiping God. Hallelujah. They are expressing the joy in their hearts by everything they do on that bass guitar. I'm telling you, if I could play the bass, if I could play the piano, if I could play any of these instruments, you all get very weary with me. Hallelujah. Because I would play them as loud as I could, as long as I could, and just, hallelujah. Why? Because rejoicing continually rises in my heart and in my soul because Jesus Christ has washed me clean. Hallelujah. And it's not something that I want to be intimidated about. I don't want to be shy about it. I want to rejoice. Hallelujah. Because God is great and God is good. And every good gift comes from above. And rejoicing is what lets people see what you really have.
If you can't rejoice, then I wonder what you have. I do. I personally do. Because my Bible tells me rejoicing is part of God's salvation. Rejoicing is that when God comes in, I don't have control anymore. He does. If I try to control my rejoicing, who's got control? You really want to learn how to worship? Then let go and rejoice in your God. Hallelujah. Find that place of rejoicing. Find that place of joy. Find that place where you can actually let go what you're feeling inside. Now, if you ain't feeling anything inside, don't let it go. I don't want any of that. But if you got what I got, I'd love to see it. Hallelujah. If you've got that joy down deep inside, I'd like to see a manifestation of joy in your life. If you've got that peace, I'd like to see that smile on your face because you know everything's all right because you're a child of God. Woo, hallelujah. Are you getting the understanding here? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. The King cometh unto thee. Hallelujah. He's coming to us this morning, church. He's been in this house all morning long. And the Spirit of God's been moving. Yet, the rejoicing was minimal. Rejoice. Rejoice. Why? For unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Which one of those do you need this morning? Woo, hallelujah. There's times we need the Counselor. There's times we don't understand. There's times we don't know which direction to go. There's times where we don't feel the joy. There's times that we need a Counselor. Hallelujah. And there's times that we're just rejoicing because He's so wonderful. He is so wonderful. Woo, hallelujah. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's never going to change. You know that, don't you? And He's the Prince of Peace. In other words, no matter what I'm going through, He can whisper sweet peace to my soul that will give me a rationale of mine so I can make a right choice. Woo, praise our God. Rejoicing. Why do we rejoice? Oh my, the benefits of serving Jesus Christ brings forth rejoicing in our lives. Psalms 118:21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous. Wow, marvelous. You ever use that in your terminology? Man, that's marvelous. No, we say awesome. Our God is awesome. Well, He's marvelous too. Hallelujah. That means He's the greatest of the great. Whew. And of course, He's both. Glory to God. It's just the reality. Oh, man, my favorite word. Reality. Reality. I thoroughly am convinced joy cannot be hid. It just cannot. And what God's wanting you and I to do is be filled with joy. Hallelujah. So it can't be hid. Because the world needs to see your joy. The world needs to see your peace. You know, we're not on cloud nine all the time. Sometimes we're right down in the midst of the warfare and in the battle and the trial and the temptation, and it is trying to pull us down. What the world needs to see when that's going on is that peace of God, which is just that small smile on your face. I know it's bad. I know my God. I don't know how He's going to do it. Sounds like the three Hebrew boys, doesn't it? I don't know how He's going to do it, but just know we're not bowing, King. I mean, this is the greatest temptation we've ever had. This is the greatest trial we've ever had. We've never faced a fiery furnace before. We've always been on the good side of the King. Been on the good side of the King, and all of a sudden they stood up one day and said, "Oh, King, we're not bowing to your idol because we worship God." And Nebuchadnezzar already knew who God was. But that pride rose up. He said, "What? You're not going to do what I told you to do? We'll see how that works out for you." What would you have done? Facing the fiery furnace. "Well, now, King, let's have a compromise here. Let's talk about this. You know, if you'll let us go in the back room and bow where we're not doing it in front of everybody, you know, That way nobody will know that I bowed, and then you'll be happy, they'll be happy, we'll all be happy. Not. Because they wouldn't be happy with compromise. They wouldn't be happy at all, because their joy had come from serving God. Woo, their power had come from serving God. Their precedence and their wisdom had come from serving God. Hallelujah. And they were not going to bow to this idol. They were going to serve God. Amen. And so, in my mind's view, as those Hebrew boys, Hebrew men, were standing there being wrapped up in garments, they had a smile on their face. Hallelujah. They weren't scared. They weren't fearful. They already had spoken. God is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. But if not, we're still serving Him. Woo. Hallelujah. It wasn't an afterthought either. No. And so I thoroughly believe they're smiling. The pressure's on. Fear is trying to come. But courage is rising up. Because our God has never failed us yet. They knew beyond any shadow of any doubt. Doubt was not a factor. Faith was the full factor. Whatever transpired that day, they were still going to be with God. They were still going to be with God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Marvelous in our eyes. Romans 8:32 said, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What do you have need of this morning in your spiritual life? Because Jesus Christ laid down His life willingly. The Father now says, I'll give you every good thing of the kingdom through Jesus Christ, my Son. There's nothing lacking to the child of God who understands their God, who knows their God. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not excited about punishing someone that disobeys. He's excited about rewarding those who obey. And He will always reach to those that are fallen to lift them back up again. I read a scripture just the other day, and I may preach a message on it, but I just wanted to try to throw it in here. And since Psalms, I think Psalms 24, and I may be wrapping them all together. I've read so many of them here lately, but it talks about how that the Lord directs the path of a good man. But the very next statement is, when he falls, the Lord will uphold him. I've read that scripture multitudes of times, but it just struck to me the reality. Oh, wait a minute. If God's directing the paths of a good man, why is he going to fall? Because sometimes the paths the Lord directs is a test of your faithfulness. Sometimes that trial and that test that comes is the path the Lord has brought us. You see, we stand firm on faith that the Lord will direct our path, but that doesn't mean we're exempt from trials and tests and troubles. It just means He will uphold us. He'll take us through as we journey that path. Go read Pilgrim's Progress again, or maybe we'll show the film on Pilgrim's Progress again. Do you all realize that Christian's journey was not always easy? He had to fight fear. He had to be courageous. He had to fight the enemy, yet the Lord was with him on his journey. Woo. That's just an extra golden nugget in here this morning about rejoicing. Because, church, we've got so much to rejoice about. So much to rejoice about. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Knowing the definition of rejoice now, can you picture Mary and what she's doing? We always picture somebody in the Bible that's rejoicing as just kind of like, No. Because if the Bible says she rejoiced, I mean, she was lifting her voice and she was happy. She might even jumped up and down a little bit. Hallelujah. Why? How do you express joy? Maybe you don't.
I don't know.
Maybe you don't. But you need to find out how. Hallelujah. You need to find out how to express that joy, and what it will do is open up. It's coming down in your soul. But if you always try to hold it in, guess what? Ain't nothing coming out.
Ain't nothing coming out.
There ain't any more coming in. It's got to come out. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, have you got a stream of the Spirit of God? Or you have the river of life flowing in you? Woo! Hallelujah. You've got to realize the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. And that means however you treat people, probably how you're going to treat him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now are you, is it all coming together? Why it's so important how you treat somebody? Because however you treat other people is really, truly how you're treating God. Yeah. That's why that second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you can't go past that one, you can't give God the first one. Woo! Help me, Jesus. We got a lot to rejoice about. Hallelujah. You see, because that's what the power of God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. Bring about that treating our neighbor as ourself. Bring about that rejoicing in God. If we look at every circumstance and find the avenue of rejoicing therein, wow, what victory we have. Praise be to our God. She magnified the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, as we read the account through the Gospels, we find that the coming of John the Baptist and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was highly heralded and highly rejoiced in. Angels praised, shepherds praised, wise men worshipped, Simeon praised, disciples praised, Anna praised, Pentecost, they were praising and worshiping God, Samaria had great joy, Cornelius' household, Ephesian believed. Do I need to go on? Of the very factor of Christianity and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on the scene, it brings rejoicing. Of God and allowing the joy, wow, that has entered in to be expressed. That's the key. You got to realize you're not doing this for people. You're doing this for God. They're not playing those instruments for people. They're playing for God. I realize out there in a lot of the church world, there's a lot of people that are doing it for the show. That ain't the way it is here. What we do, we do it for God. We do it for God. Actually, the Bible says, whatever you lay your hand to do, do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, do you worship to be seen of men? Are you always looking around to see what everybody else is doing? Or do you begin to just rejoice? I'll give you a little bit of advice. Next time, just close your eyes and begin to rejoice. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You may be the only one doing it, and that'd be good. But sooner or later, somebody else is going to close their eyes and begin to rejoice too. Hallelujah. And that's when the Spirit of God can begin to flow. And when the Spirit of God can begin to flow, then He can take the Word of God and begin to wash. Begin to take those things out of us. See, this is why it's so important. The Spirit of God move in the house of God and move flowing through our lives. Hallelujah. Because when you begin to rejoice in your God, by the time you're done rejoicing, God has just changed two or three things in your life. Those things you struggled with, those things you wrestled with, those things you doubted about, because you went ahead and began to rejoice in your God and rejoice in your salvation, rejoice in the greatness of God. By the time you're done rejoicing, because you've opened up, Oh, the windows of your soul, and you've opened up the door of your heart. The King of Glory has come in, taken out some of those things, and took them with the flow. Woo. You see why it's important for it to flow? If it just comes in and the other stuff ain't going out. And here we are, we struggle with it again and again and again and again. Why? Because we don't. He will perform that which he has begun. Hallelujah. And what is begun is salvation. And salvation talks about sanctification. And sanctification talks about glorification. It's just the process of an almighty God moving in the life of a believer. And that's really the normal process. Whew, it's not one we've had to generate or make up. It's just been the one all the time. Hallelujah. To worship God unhindered. To rejoice in our God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, if we stop right there, we're thinking, okay, we're never going to get to see any of this until we get to heaven. And a lot of people stop right there. But the next verse lets us know about the Spirit of God moving in our lives. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The mysteries of salvation were hid unto mankind. The mystery of salvation was hid unto Satan himself. The mystery of salvation is now revealed. Hallelujah. To you and I, Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, finished the work of Calvary that I can now have life and I can have it more abundantly. Now, how are you going to get abundant life? By learning to rejoice in your God. Woo, hallelujah. So that you can be a recipient of that abundant life, that flowing of the Spirit of God coming in, flowing out, hallelujah. That washing of the water of the Word. All of these things the Bible promises cannot be done just intellectually. Cannot be done at all. You cannot be saved intellectually. What I mean by intellectually, you cannot figure out a formula whereby you can be saved. God's already done that. Really, there's nothing we have to figure out about God's plan. He's already planned it. So if we want to use our intellect, we need to use it with a thing called surrender. And surrender our minds unto Him. So we're not trying to always figure things out. He just lets us know what we need to do. Woo! Hello. I realize, I already said it, there's times we don't understand. There's times we're confused. There's times when we're in the battle, in the trenches, we're fighting a you're going to have to find that place of worship. I know from personal experience of any major decision I've ever made in my life in obedience to God, I never found it with my head buried in an altar. I never found it just curling up in a ball and getting down and begging God to show me. I've been there multitudes of times. But where I found it is when I would begin to lift up my head and I would begin to rejoice in my God. And I would begin to worship Him and I would begin to praise Him and I would begin to magnify Him for the great God that He is and the great God that He has been to me and how He has saved me and how He's filled me with His Holy Ghost and how I sense that He's trying to lead me. And I would begin to worship and I would begin to rejoice at all the wonderful things that He's done. And by the time I was through, I heard that still small voice. Yes, this is what I want you to do. Woo, hallelujah. But I've never found it with my head buried in the altar. There's times for supplication. There's times for intercession. There's times when we get down there around that altar, we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We don't even know who we're praying for, what we're praying for. There's a time for that. But if you want to hear from God, lift up your heads. Begin to rejoice in your God and allow the Spirit of God to begin to flow through your soul, and you will find your directive and you will find your answer you have been looking for. Try it and see if it works. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So I've got to let the Spirit of God begin to flow into my life so I can hear those deep things of God. If I'm trying to figure out the deep things of God without the Spirit of God's flow,
nah,
it ain't going to work. We got multitudes of colleges and seminaries filled with men who've tried to figure it all out with their intellectual mind, and they're just lost as they can be. I'm reminded of Charles Spurgeon. Most people have heard of Charles Spurgeon, a renowned pastor, preacher of days gone by. You know and realize that Charles Spurgeon was a pastor and a preacher for a long time in his life, and he wasn't even saved. He just chose that path because he realized it was the right path. And he saw that men needed help, so he rose to the occasion and wanted to help. Those are good, admirable traits in individuals, but he wasn't even saved. He wasn't born again. Spirit of God. Until one dreary, rainy night, as he walked down a street, he heard some singing in a little storefront meeting. And he stepped in out of the rain, stepped in the back of the building. And the story that I read must have been one he had rendered, probably, because he said, the gentleman attempting to expound God's word and butchering it so terribly in his dialect, in his lack of words. But then he said something, and Charles Spurgeon realized he was missing something on the inside. And that night, he swung wide the door of his heart, and the King of Glory came in. And Charles Spurgeon's ministry began to become powerful. See, it's all about Christ. It's all about the Spirit of God working in us, bringing us to that place we can rejoice. We must be able to rejoice in our God. Psalms 101 and 2, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now you got an understanding of why we conduct our church services the way we do. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That we're rejoicing here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalms 107, 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Glory. I'll be honest with you, when I first got saved, I had a terrible time with expressing my feelings, showing my feelings, rejoicing. I had a terrible time with just raising my hand. I did. I just come from a place you didn't do that. That was not right to do in church. So I slept instead. No, honestly, I did. Most of the time, you know, when you're out carousing all to the late hours of Saturday night, and you're getting up at 7 o'clock the next morning to be at church at 9, now you think it's rough to be here at 9:45. I had to be there at 9 after being up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and then go sit on a pew where there's no rejoicing. It's just dead and it's dull. And while the pastor is sharing his pre-prepared sermon by the college he came from, Your eyelids are getting heavy. You hear his words, but you see his face no more. And all of a sudden you hear nothing. And you wake yourself up snoring. And you wake up and think everybody's seen you, but nobody has, because they all got the same syndrome going on. Woo! Praise our God. God is good. Now you know why I rejoice in my salvation. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." One of the final times of rejoicing for the child of God is that rapture. And we're headed for that marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Because we have made ourselves ready. And we've made ourselves ready because we have learned, as Brother Jason preached so tremendously Thursday night, to learn the art of the gift. We must learn the art of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Because it's not something that comes automatic for some people. For some people, they're just bubbly all the time anyway and rejoicing. Woo-hoo, praise our God. You know, I wasn't that way. You wouldn't think that now, but I wasn't that way. I mean, you know, everybody else is doing that. I'm sitting there going, and then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then I could feel it, but I was still struggling that. And finally, God began to bring me to a place. I mean, you know, God just has a way of working things out. And what I mean by working things out, working us out of us is what I mean by that. Hallelujah. He just got a way of working things out to where he brings it so full in our face that we can't stand what we see. Oh, is that me? I'm just, oh, help me, Jesus. Hey, it's Christmas. I haven't got to preach for 13 weeks, hallelujah, on a Sunday morning. Praise God. And so it's Christmas, and we got an all-day affair going on. Praise God. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing. Glory to God. But the reality is that rejoicing and coming before God and knowing. When I began to preach revivals, I was struggling. Because I would bury my head in an altar trying to get a message. It wasn't happening. Oh, it was a very, very tormenting time, because I'm the kind of guy, I like to be on top of it. I like to have it, you know, just, I don't know what I'm doing. I just traveling down the highway, I want to know 1 mile, at least 2 miles before the next turnoff is. And if you found out on your phone, they don't give you that knowledge until 1 mile or a quarter mile, and I'm a 2 mile guy. I get so frustrated at that lady on the phone. Can we change it to a man? Maybe they'll give me time, you know, give it a sooner, you know. Woo. Yeah, it will. Whoa. Praise God. Now, that was good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rejoicing. What I found is when I was so trying to intellectually receive from God, I couldn't. When I was stressing because I wasn't getting anything immediately, I wouldn't. But when I'd step back, just begin to rejoice in my God. Rejoice in what he was doing in those services. Rejoice in his mighty hand upon my life, upon my family's life, upon the lives of the people in the church we were ministering to. I would just step back and begin to enter into the presence of my God. The messages would just flow down from heaven. Just flow down from heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, I couldn't write fast enough to write them down. I couldn't down everything what God was pouring into me as I entered into that place of rejoicing, as I entered into that place of worship. It would just flow. Hallelujah. Praise our God. You see, there's great benefits in the Spirit of God flowing in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we see then, we're going to rejoice, we're going to be glad. And here, this is the last scripture I want to share here this afternoon. In Psalm 24, and I was wrong earlier, the one I quoted earlier wasn't in Psalms 24, it's this one, Psalms 24. Psalm 24, 9, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And there's that word Sister Pepper talked about earlier. Selah. It's time to rejoice. It's time to rejoice. It's time to take what God has said and begin to rejoice about it so it can start taking root in my heart. If I can't rejoice about God's word, I've got a problem. And when I learn the art of rejoicing and I begin to rejoice at God's word, that's when he writes it in my heart that I might not sin against God. Ooh, hallelujah. Lift up your heads. Look up. O ye gates speaks about people. Lift up your heads, people. Lift up your heads. Even lift them up. Ye everlasting doors. What's that talking about? For you and I, it's the door of the heart. Swing wide. Lift up your head. Swing wide the door of that heart. And the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, that's his promise. It's not my promise. It's not my promise I'm giving to you. That's his promise. He's given to us as we learn the art to rejoice and lift up our heads and lift up the door of our hearts and allow the King of glory to come in and work his wonderful, perfect work. Amen. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? Here's a little poem I want to try to close with here this morning. It's called The Triumph of Christmas. Starts out, can we say Merry Christmas when all around is night? When war spreads death and sorrow and wrong overcomes the right? Is love the greatest power or is it hate and greed? If we speak now of Christmas, will anyone give heed? Ah, yes, comes back Faith's answer. The hearts of men still cry for that one consolation to cheer them ere they die. They still sound forth the message the angels herald sang, that o'er the hills of David in peals of rapture reign. Then from the lowly manger shall rise a mighty throne, the babe become earth's ruler, and men serve God alone. The triumph of Christmas. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Stand with me if you would, if you can. As we close this service this morning, meditating, rehearsing in our minds what the Lord has done in this house just this morning, of his word that has come forth in our Sunday school class, of his spirit that has descended in this house as we begin to worship, as we begin to rejoice. These young people putting forth with all their heart a presentation. And whether you realized it or not, that wasn't for you. That was for the King. Oh. And you could see it in their eyes. You could see it on their faces. The joy that was in their hearts. The joy that was on their faces. As they were concentrating hard to present that to God. Hallelujah. And then the Spirit of God came and he spoke to us and he encouraged us to come to him, to lift up our hands, to lift up our heads, to open our hearts and allow him to come in. Oh, let's lift our hands here this morning. Let's lift our voices here this morning because God's still in his house. And he's still speaking. Oh, he's speaking to our hearts. He's speaking to our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, King of glory, come in. King of glory, come in. Oh, Lord, just come in fresh and anew and refresh my soul. Fresh and anew and remind me of your greatness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, that I might rejoice in my God, that I might rejoice in my salvation, that I might rejoice in my King. Oh, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Church, just worship him. Go ahead, magnify his name. Go ahead and rejoice in your salvation. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the greatness of your God. Hallelujah.